Okay, so we're approaching Hanukkah, so we'll do something on Hanukkah. We'll begin by being ma'ayin in the Rambam in Hilchos Hanukkah. There's a special din, a special halacha in Hilchos Hanukkah that we don't find anywhere else, and that is mitzvahs Hanukkah ner ish ubeisai. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara Shabbos, the mitzvah of Hanukkah is that each household should light a ner Hanukkah. That's the basic halacha of ner Hanukkah. Then after that, there's mahadrin, that each person would light one, and mahadrin and mahadrin. You know, this, okay. This, but those, the basic halacha of ner Hanukkah is that the house has to have a ner Hanukkah. Normally, mitzvahs are on the individual, a Megillah. You know, it's not enough that the husband hears the, everybody has to hear the Megillah. Normally, mitzvahs have to be done by each individual. And here, this is a special mitzvah, maybe near Shabbos. We have, okay, near Shabbos also would be the mitzvah in the house. So we'll see there's a connection between near Hanukkah and near Shabbos. But, so it's a very unique thing that's roi to be mizbeinin into what's behind it, what's the significance of this. So the Rambam, when he explains the inyan of Hanukkah in Paragimel Halacha Aleph of Hilchas Hanukkah, he says as follows: Bebayis Sheni Kshemalchei Yavan Gozru Gzeiris Al Yisrael. In the second bayis, when the kings of Yavan decrees against the Jewish people or on the Jewish people, Bitlu Dasam, and they nullified their religion. And they didn't allow Klal Yisrael to be oisik in Torah and mitzvahs. And they stretched out their hands into their money, meaning they were robbing them, looting them, and in their daughters, they took their daughters. And they went into the Heichal, the Beis HaMikdash, and they broke into it many openings, and they contaminated the taras, brought tremendous trouble to the Jewish people, and they oppressed them with great oppression, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu had mercy on them and saved them. And the children of the Chashmonoi, the Kohanim HaGadoilim, means the important Kohanim, they overpowered the Hargum, and they killed them, they killed the Yevonim. Vayishiu Yisrael Miyodam, and they brought salvation, they saved the Jewish people from the hands of the Yevonim. Vayimidu Melech Min HaKohanim, and they put up a king from the Kohanim, which we know was a problem that they, and they continued that Malchus, but we're not getting into that point. Vechazro Malchus Yisrael, and the kingship of the Jews, of the Jewish nation, continued, or came back, Yeser al Masayim Shana ad Achurban HaSheni. For more than 200 years, Malchus continued in the Jewish people until the second Churban. That's the Lashon of the Rambam. Now, if we analyze the words of the Rambam, it seems that there are two inyanim that went on in Hanukkah. One is that Yavon decreed gezeres, and they were mevatel the religion, the Jewish religion. They fought against the Jewish religion. So that was a spiritual religious war. But besides that, the Rambam says, "V'tzar lem liYisrael ad ma'od mipnei v'lachzum lachas gadol." They oppressed them with great oppression. So that seems to be that there was also a physical war involved. So it was a physical and a spiritual, two realms. They made tzaras to Klal Yisrael. Now, l'chayr, the question is where to put the pshitas yadam shel yavon, right? The fact that the Rambam says that they took their hands, they went and they robbed the Jewish money and Jewish girls. Where does that fit in? It's very strange. L'chayr, that's a physical war, right? They're looting from the Jewish people, they're robbing them. L'chari, that's part of the physical, the part of the mechama gufnis, part of the physical mechama. But the way it's situated in the Rambam, that wouldn't make sense. Because the Rambam begins by saying that they were mevatil their religion. They didn't allow them to be Isaac and Torah Mitzvah. So that's all milchama ruchnis. That's all a spiritual milchama. The next thing it says is pashtu yadam b'mamayinam u'b'mneiseyem, which, if that's physical, it's very weird, because the next step in the Rambam is they went into the heichal v'nichnus u'l'heichal u'partzu b'pirtzos v'timu ataris. They broke into the mikdash and they contaminated the tyrus. So that's certainly a spiritual war. So he went from spiritual, physical, back to spiritual. V'tzar lem Yisrael ad mo'ed mipnei v'lachtzim lachatz gadol, which again is physical. So it wouldn't make sense. We know the Rambam was such a daikon, was so careful in the way he wrote. It wouldn't make sense to mix things, go back and forth between the spiritual to the physical, spiritual to physical. So it would therefore seem that the inyan of the taking of Jewish money and Jewish girls was also in fact a part of the spiritual milchama. It wasn't that they just were interested in taking away all of Jewish money and oppressing them through that. No, there was an aim on their spirit in the spiritual sense. Now we'll get back to this in a moment, but first we have to be ma'ayin another very simple question: where does the Rambam get this from? Okay, so the inyan of the Jewish girls being taken by the Yevanim, so that we know, that the Gemara says, it's a Megillus Tainus. The Gemara says that the women are chayovas in their Chanukah because they also were in that miracle. And Rashi over there explains that the second reason he says is that there was a nace done by the Isha, referring to Yehudas, which is stam. It's an interesting historical question. When was the Maase Yehudas? It's not so pashut bechlal that it actually took place. It's actually, it seems that it did not take place anywhere near the time of the miracle of Chanukah, but that's just a parenthetic point. But the first thing that the Rashi says over there is that they were geyser, the Yevanim were geyser, and all the besulas, that before a girl would get married, she would have to go to the, you know, the whatever it is, the mayor, the place, whatever they had there, and they took the girl before she got married, and of course defiled her, and that was a terrible gzera. So that, of course, we have in Chazal. But where does the Rambam get this idea that they looted them, that they pashtu yadam b'mamayinim, that they robbed them? Where does that come from? So I actually looked around and I found, finally, after searching, I found there's a sefer Eileheim Moyadai from Rav Schlesinger. He's a Rav in Eretz Yisrael, and Rav Eliyahu Schlesinger. So he brings a source. Before we say the source, he asks another question. He asks a question on this point of the Rambam, because he says that if you look at the Matbea Lashon, if we look at the wording of Al Anisim, there's no mention at all, there's no hint at all to any physical hatzalah, to any physical saving of the Jewish people. Of Pashtu Yadim B'mayinam, there's no like talk about, oh, they saved their money, you know, nothing. I add to it another question. There's a very famous point that the Achronim bring, the Levush, the Bach, the Taz, where they distinguish between Chanukah and Purim. And they say that Chanukah, the gzeir was on the ruchnius, and therefore the way to celebrate Chanukah, right, the laws that were given for us to celebrate Chanukah are spiritual things, the ner Chanukah, lighting the menorah. But the by on Purim, where the gzeir was in the physicality of the Jewish people, la'harig la'abe, to destroy them, to kill them, to wipe them out. So there, the Chazal made the memorial, the way to celebrate Purim, made that as a physical celebration through drinking and eating and mishteh. So that is a very big distinction that the Achronim make between Chanukah and Purim. So it brings back in question on this Rambam, the Pshitas Yadam B'mamayinam, where is he coming from? So Rav Schlesinger brings down a Chazal, which actually it was a little bit frustrating because he doesn't say where the Chazal is. And I did not find the Chazal. I mean, I did searches on the computer. I looked up all my reference for him. I did not find the exact lashon that he brings. But I found the Inyan, okay, in the Sefer called Oitzer HaMidrashim, which collects a lot of Midrashim that are not, we don't really have so much. They're like kind of lost Midrashim at the... So it's he brings down from the Medrash Maisa Chanukah. But we'll bring Rav Schlesinger's Lashon because it's a shorter, more succinct Lashon, so it's easier for us. Instead of just, you know, if anybody wants to see the full Lashon, so you can look in the Eitzer Midrashim or you can look at I have this forum here, make an advertisement in the middle. We'll take a commercial break for Moedei Yisrael on the Moedim. But just to take care of our sponsor. Yeah, so Lamaisa, the Medrash over there says that in the days of Malchus Yavon, they were geyser, and this is like new material, it's interesting, you know, I'll give you a little bit of something to add, spice up the Hanukkah story. They were geyser, they decreed that anyone that has a beriach, which is literally like a pole, they used to use that to lock the doors, right? They would put like, a pole, connected. I've actually seen it done, but they use that as a lock, okay? So, well, now I guess we have those little chuk-chuks, you know, that also act as a... What's it? What are they called?
Deadbolts now.
Okay, there you go, deadbolts. So, they were geyser, that anyone that has a bariach on his house has to engrave on or carve out into that bariach that they have no portion, ein lo chelek be'elikei Yisrael. They have no portion in the God of Israel. So no good Jew is going to agree to that. So what did they do? Unfortunately, there probably weren't Jews. There were a lot of misyavnim. There were a lot of people that unfortunately fell. But the good Jews that did not fall, right? What did they do? They took off the brichim. No locks, finish. No locks. I don't have to do that. There's no decree now. I don't have to do it. I don't have a lock. So the Yevonim made another gzeir also that. Then this one is of course more famous. That everybody has to write on the horn of their ox. Ein lechelek b'lekei Yisrael. Again, I don't want to do that. So what they do? They went ahead and they sold their oxen. If you realize the significance of selling the oxen in those days was you lost your parnasa. The ox was the source of parnasa. In order to work the field, you needed an ox. That's what there was. It was an agricultural society. So that's it. Okay, so I won't have parnasa. So you don't have locks. Well, if you don't have parnasa, you don't have what to steal either, I guess. So, you know, it worked out perfect. But that was the oppression that was going on. It was very, very scary and terrible times from these gzeiros. Now, Rav Schlesinger brings down over there that in the continuation of Chazal, of the Medrash over there, they say that you could see from the Medrash over there that these gzeiros were aimed specifically to bring a terrible matzav, a terrible situation in the Jewish people, where, you know, they would now be open to... You know, I should say it like this. It brought to the situation where the houses are open, everything is a balagan, everything is parutz, is open, and nobody had any. There was no meat anymore. There was starving. It was really very heavy, like the Rambam says, lachatz gadol, a tremendous, difficult, oppressive time. But what's Mefurish over there in the Chazal is that the goal of the Yevanim in all these gezeres was actually really a spiritual, religious aim. They felt that by taking away their parnasa, by forcing them into the corner, they would be able to break the Jewish spirit and tear them away from religion. Unfortunately, we have similar plot being attempted today. Certainly in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, right before I left, you know, it's like so crazy. You know, I don't know if it's been public knowledge here in America, but you know, the government raised the prices on paper goods, plasticware, you know, specifically aimed because of the Meshuggah at the treasury that wants to teach the Haredim a lesson, since they use what's called chad pami. How do you say that in a disposable? There we go. Okay. I always say that when an American moves to Israel and you're there long enough, so you lose your English, and you never get Hebrew the way the Israelis have, so you're left languageless. But anyway, so. But there's been many, many attempts, and the continued attempts of taking away more and more and more rights and monies and whatever it is, in order to try to force the Haredi world into a specific, you know, to join the melting pot of Israeli society. So this plot was already, you know, has its roots in Yavan, and of course Yavan did much worse. And Baruch Hashem, there were some good Jews that stood up to this test. But anyway, the point is that it's clear from that medrash that this Rambam Taka is, it comes out. What's that?
You stand up for the test. What do you do? You're going to buy paper goods?
Yeah, that's, we'll pay for the paper goods with the no money. Anyway, so, yeah. So Chazal, so the source, the point is that the source of the Rambam, it must be coming from this medrash. And in that medrash, it's clear that there was a spirit. This really was just a part of a spiritual war. So there weren't two wars going on side by side. It was all geared to the spiritual. And then, therefore, it's no longer a strange Rambam where you have spiritual, physical, spiritual, physical. No, it's all different aspects of the spiritual war to break the Jewish spirit. Okay, now to understand the Yesod of the Melchemes Yavan, we need to understand and realize that they were coming. It wasn't just stam or religious war. It was tailored in a specific way to be mechallel the kedusha of the Jewish people. That's specifically to be mechallel kedushas Yisrael. Kedushas Yisrael is expressed on three levels or in three aspects, which are the three parts of the creation. We know from Sefer Yetzirah. Three parts of creation is the Rashi Tevis Oshan, Oilam, Shana, Nefesh, world or space, year, time, and soul. Space, time, and soul, those are the three aspects of creation, parts of the creation. So, Keneged the Bechinas Oilam, okay, Keneged, right, on that, the spatial aspect. They were pirates, they broke into, they were pirates, the Yavanim were pirates, 13 pirtas into the Beis HaMikdash. They didn't come to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, they just broke it open. The breaking open is a chilul of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, Gonzu Beis Chashmonai, the house of Chashmonai, they hid the Avnei HaMizbeach, Sheshiktsu Anshe Yavan, the Lashon Shiktsu. That's what they came to do. They came just to be Meshakets, to disgrace and desecrate the Beis HaMikdash. So that was a chil of the Kedushas HaMakim. And the Mishnah in Midas also says that they made 13 protzes in the Pirtzes in the Soireg, Sheportzim. That's what they came to. They didn't come to destroy, they just came to be Mechal. The Keneged the Bechin of Shana, of the time, they were Geizer Neged Shmiris Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. And Keneged the Bechin of Sanefesh, they were Geizer Keneged the Bris Milah, which is then, and they were Mtama the Besulis Yisrael. Those are the Bechinas Nefesh. So they were specifically, they zeroed in on being Mechal the Kedushas Yisrael. Now, if we take the whole thing, the clawless of what went on, it was they were trying to destroy, to break and destroy the Jewish home. The Jewish home. So they were geyser, neged the brichim, right? So there wouldn't be a matzav, it would force the Jewish people, like they knew what was going on. They knew the Jews aren't going to give this, they're just going to take off the locks. So that their houses would be prutzim, so there's no more privacy. There's no more privacy of family life is gone, between husband and wife, even with kids, right? It's all open. You couldn't have a normal, happy family life. Obviously, every basula, that's clearly, right, that's taking away straight at the foundation of the Jewish home, it's gone. The when they broke the Pirtus into the Beis HaMikdash, that was a bechina of the bias of Klal Yisrael. The other gzeiras we spoke about were the gzeiras neged the personal house, the personal Jewish home. But there's a Klal Yisrael home, and the Klal Yisrael home is the Beis HaMikdash. So they were poyets Pirtus into that home where Hashem lives with us, like the Kruvim it says, right? It's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the love between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. So they were pegeya, they injured and hurt the personal home, Jewish home, and the national Jewish home. According to the Zohar, Shabbos is what's called Malkisa, is the Malka, is the queen. Rish Chodesh, we know the Inyan is the renewal of the Lavana, of the moon. The moon is also, according to the Zohar, is the Bechina of the sphere that's called Malchus, right? The 10 spheres, there's a sphere called Malchus. So like Shabbos, which is called Malkisa, right? The Levana, which is the Inyan of Rosh Chodesh, is also Malchisa, it's also the Bechina of Malchus. Mila, which is done on the Ateres HaYesod, on the Ateres HaYesod, that's where the Bris Mila is performed, that also, according to Kabbalah, is Malchus. So, the woman is the Malchus in the family. She represents the queen of the house. She's the Malchus. So all these gezeiros were geared. Shabbos is right. They're all geared Mila to the Bechinas HaMalchus in the Jewish people. So we have to understand what is that Bechina of Malchus. It's a Kabbalistic concept. What is that concept? So the Zohar says that the quality of Malchus is leslo migarma klum. There are 10 spheres. The 9 spheres, which are Keser, Chochma, Bina, Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yisod, they all have certain spiritual qualities, each one of itself. They have their own or, what's called, their own light, kibayachah. And the Malchus doesn't have any of its own light. So what is the purpose? What is the function of the Malchus? It expresses the other spheres. It is the one that manifests. And that's like the Levana. That's like the moon, which is reflects the light that it receives from the sun. So, if an interesting thing, I once explained this, you know, if you talk about a melech, right? The melech is like the top, he's the top. That's the top of the country. So, like, how does that called Leslo Migar Meklum? It has nothing of its own. So, the pshat is, if you have Chachma, you have Chachma. If you have Bina, you have Bina. If you have Chesed, you have a strong right hand or whatever. Right? These are things that are qualities in of themselves. There's no quality of being a melech. Chazal tell us, Ein melech belo am. There is no king unless you have a nation. Meaning, the king's koach comes completely from others. If other people don't recognize him as king, even if he's a dictator, they can overthrow him, revolt. They let it go on. So the king, the quality of being king is completely dependent on others. Ein melech belo am. It's a very important position, king, yeah? But ein melech belo am. So that is the inyan of Malchus. We'll get back to that soon. The Rambam in Igeres Teiman. I don't know if anybody's read the Igros of the Rambam, but they're fascinating. Igeres Teiman is extremely fascinating. I highly recommend trying to learn it at some point. The Rambam there writes a massive chiddush. And I say massive chiddush in the sense of like nobody knows where in the world the Rambam got this from. The Rambam says as follows. I'm not going to go into it. He brings down the gzeiros. I'm just going to say one line. He brings down the gzeiros that we spoke about. The amdu b'gzeira, and the Jewish people stood in the situation of this gzeira, kemo chamishim v'shtayim shana, for about 52 years. Where does it say that, 52 years? I looked up. Nobody knows. But the Rambam, you know, the Tumim writes, Yonison Eibeshitz and the Tumim on Chayshe Mishpat, writes that the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch were written Beruach HaKodesh. And their Ruach HaKodesh was at such that you are allowed to be mefarish the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch's words in ways that they didn't intend or weren't aware of. because their words were put in their pen, in their pen, in their mouth, in their pen. Mamish mipi agvura. It's like mamish, it has a din of Torah that you can now be mefarish even what, in a way that they didn't intend. It's fascinating. That's the way we relate to the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch. So if the Rambam says 52 years, even without a sword, us, that's the Messina. That's something we take very serious. And I realize that it's not stam. The Arizal says, and this is fascinating to see how the Rambam, the rationalist Rambam, Beruach Kodshoi, all of a sudden taps into the Kabbalah over here. The Arizal says, it's really Zohar already, that there are four main ways of expanding the Shem Havaya, the name of Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei. Okay, there are four main ways. You could fill the Yudkei Vavkei with Yuds, so as follows, Yud Vav Dal Hey Yud, Vav Yud Vav Hey Yud. That gives you a gematria of 72. You could do it, what's called the Shem Av in Kabbalistic terminology. You can fill it with that same way, except one change in the Vav, instead of Vav Yud Vav, make it Vav Aleph Vav. Significance and why, we're not getting into, but that gives you a gematria of 63. That's Sag, the Shem Sag. You can fill it with Alephs. Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Aleph, Vav Aleph Vav Hey Aleph. That's 45, the gematria of Ma, the gematria of Adam, by the way, parenthetically. And then you can fill it with Hayes. Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Hey, Vav Vav Hey Hey. That's gematria 52, gematria Ben. The first name Av is Keneged Chochma Keser. The second shame of Sag is Keneged Bina. The third name, Ma, is Keneged, the six spheres that it's called, Vak, Chesek, Vur, Tfes, Netzach, Hod, Yisod. And the last one, Ben, is Keneged, the Malchus. So we saw over here that the Xeris that were the Yevanim did, zeroed in on the Malchus, on the feminine quality of expression, which is Shabbos, Mila, the Isha. Right, zeroed in on what represents the Malchus in Klal Yisrael, and of course took away the Malchus of Klal Yisrael, literally, right? They took over, and this went on for how long? 52 years, the Rambam says, which is Keneged, the Bechina of Malchus Alpi Kabbalah, according to Kabbalah. And it's not Stam. That was a tikkun that Klal Yisrael needed to go through to rectify the Bechina of Malchus that had been in a state that needed rectification, and through the Mesiris Nefesh of the Chashmonaim, Klal Yisrael was zeicha to the Yeshua when that 52 years was up. It's perfect. Now, when they were victorious against the Yevanim, what does the Rambam say? Chazra Malchus Yisrael. The Malchus of Yisrael came back. It's beautiful. It takes on like a whole new depth to it. And the meaning of the hischachus of the Malchus and Klal Yisrael, it's not just in the simple meaning that, okay, now they have a king, now they're in charge of their government. It's in all the aspects. The inyan of Malchus is the inyan of hischachus, like we see by the moon, the fact that the ability to become revived, become renewed, excitement is all rooted in this Malchus. And that's why the Sfarim, when they say the shir of Ner Chanukah, it's Chazal, Ad Shetichle HaRegel Min HaShuk. So in this forum, Sifri Chassidus and other places say, Ad Shetichle HaRegilus Min HaShuk. The Ner Chanukah, the idea of Ner Chanukah is that you're supposed to light to the point that or is going to, you're going to bring that or in, and the Regilus, doing mitzvahs out of habit, mitzvahs HaNoshim Alumada, is going to be gone. You're going to have a new eschachus. You're going to have a new excitement to it. Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap says that's the inyan of Hanukkah. Every chag has its own thing. Pesach is emuna, Sukkot is simcha. Everyone, what's Hanukkah? What are you supposed to get out of Hanukkah? He says these are yomim. They were nikva. They were set as days of halavayda. What's halavayda about? Excitement about being nisayir and being mislive, getting excited and about Hakadosh Baruch Hu. That is all rooted in Chanukah. He says, however much you are excited and spoiled during Chanukah, that's the barrier of respilus you're going to have over the course of the whole year. So Achetichle Regel Min Ashuk is that Bechin of Malchus, of his Chachas, when you have something new, that's when you get excited. Once you have it for, you have the fancy car, after a week or two, you're already ready for the next car. It's at the beginning. That his Chachas, that's what we have to plug into during Chanukah. That's the Nitzachin of Chanukah, that we were zeicha to get excited about the Kadosh Baruch Hu again. We were attacking the Malchus. According to this, it's a Mavur, by the way, it's also the Maimed Aisha. Today it's a big thing, the position of the woman, right? The position of the woman, her Chashava position in Klal Yisrael came back during Chanukah. That's Chazra Malchus Yisrael. The Isha, it says, Chazal say, Beisezu Ishta, the house, that's a reference to the woman. She's it. She's the whole thing. She's what holds everything together. That's the Tafkid of the Malchus. Without her, there's no manifestation of the Kaychus of the family, of the husband, of the kids. So the Gemara then says, in Shabbos, Harogel B'ner, if you do the mitzvah of Ner, you're Rogel to do the mitzvah of Ner, Havyan Leibonim Talmidei Chacham, you'll be Zeichet to Talmidei Chacham, sons who are Talmidei Chacham. So some of the Rishonim explain, Rashi, right, that it's Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah. Like we said, there's a connection between the two. Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah. Others are Rabbeinu Chananel and others that say it's only Ner Chanukah. But in the Yesod HaDvarim, it comes out that they're both true because both things show this inyan of Shalom Bayis, of the peace that goes in the house, the Shalom, right? Shabbos, we all know, is that's the whole thing of the Ner Shabbos is for Shalom Bayis, and for Chanukah also, this is the whole inyan of the house, that the house, the Jewish house now became rectified. We didn't have the pirtzes, we didn't have the Kedushas HaBayis was back intact. So somebody's going to be Rogam and their Chanukah is going to be Zeich to Bonim Talmidei Chacham, and that's the whole, the victory of Chanukah is the victory of the Jewish home, whose Sheifa, aspiration, is to be Maimed Bonim Talmidei Chacham. And the Gemara in Bracha says, somebody who's Mesameh Chasav and Kala, it's as if he bon achas kilu bon achas mechurvus Yerushalayim, right? Because that there's a connection here that we said that the personal house of the Jewish people, the personal house of the Jew, is dependent and tied and flows from the general house of Yisrael, which is the house where HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests and lives with us, kiveyochol nebechina ve'ishto ve'ishto, like the kruvim, like we said, and therefore there was Zeicha and Chanukah to be Mechadish, the Bayis HaKloli, the Beis HaMikdash. That's what it says, right? The Mechanich, the Beis HaMikdash, Mizmor, Shir, Chanukah, Sabayis, Lodavid. And that's really, it's the Bayis HaKloli and the Bayis HaProti. And with this, it's also Mavur. There's a Minnag in many places. I do it, I suggest to others. There's very beautiful tefillas, actually, that after lighting Chanukah candles, there's a Minnag to Davin for the Zivugim, for the Shidduchim, for the Zivugim, of a person's children. Because there's no more suitable time to daven on the Hakomas HaBayis HaYehudi like there is by the lighting of Chanukah, whose whole inyan, whose whole yesod, is this inyan of the Bayis HaYehudi HaKloli V'HaProti Ish U'Beisai. That's why the mitzvah is Ner Chanukah Ish Ubeisa, and that's what it's about. So we should be Zeicha at all the Jewish homes, on the personal homes should be Zeicha to Or, to Light, and Shalom Bayis, and we should be Zeicha, as Hashem, to the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, and the Chanukah HaBayis, HaShlishi, Bimheira V'Yameinu.
Amen.